The interesting thing about that comment is this, right? Just observation as opposed to any in-depth study. I think there are a lot more females who own their own businesses in Barbados than males at certain levels.
Right, but are we taking out formal loans?
No,
Are we
which is the
doing all
point
of those
which is
things?
the point I'm getting to.
Sure.
In a lot of cases, they do so without approaching lending agencies because of the challenges, either perceived or real, that they run into. Owner-operated businesses, for example, have sometimes not the kind of business records and the kind of things they asked for, including collateral, becomes a challenge because in some cases, and this is where I'm taking your point. Let's say a lady and her partner, whether formally joined in matrimony or common law, own property together. It may be difficult for the lady to use it as collateral for a business on her own,
Exactly.
especially if the other party of the first part, is using it or is not using it. Ma'am, there are certain parts of our legal apparatus that I find weird. That sometimes the interpretation is even more strange. For example, the thing that males were supposed to allow their wives to, if they were married, to claim for their children income tax. I always found that strange. Especially if the wife earned more than the husband, why should she not be the one to get the deductions so you get a larger return? But sometimes our thinking remains based in a system that no longer exists. We
That's it.
talk about a 24-hour society, right? And say we want to move to 24-hour business. And recently, saw in the newspaper a lawsuit brought by people in Dover who wanted to sleep in the night and on weekends to stop hotel development. So suppose I worked at the hospital on night shift and I came home in the day and I was tired and wanted to sleep. Is it all right to have construction next to me? Because we still believe that you work in the day and you sleep in the night. Those kinds of thinking is what confuses what the law actually says you. And that's why I take your point that it's difficult for things like the collateral because it's more thinking rather than what's written on the books. But yeah,
Yes.
you have a point. You have a point.
And then,
Can't
but
disagree with
there's
it.
much more I can go on to say about that, but I won't. I don't want to take up much more time with that. But I think it's unfortunate because I feel like we really shouldn't be misleading our young people, and we want them to be savvy in the world. And I think especially people coming from the developing part of the world
Developing
as we do,
countries, yeah.
that we need to be a lot more on top of our game and savvy than people from the other parts of the world. Then the second point I wanted to raise was just the whole library and literacy. I am very, very concerned about how defunct our library system is. I feel as though when I go into a library, I am not inspired. It feels as though people are just pushing around paper. They're not, and this is not to knock the employees. This is a higher kind of lack of vision and developmental goals for and planning in terms of that body. But I feel as though, you know, there is so much potential to develop within our people in terms of their literacy and their reading and trying to find out, you know, where are people at in terms of their reading trends and things like that. Nothing is being done, in my opinion, about things like that. I have gone to libraries overseas, and actually, when I was doing some reading on this, there are libraries now in America that are looking at providing social services because they're the first point of contact for a lot of people who are in need. Mothers who are in need, you know, homeless people who are in need of social services, they all end up at the library. So let me provide the service. And I was thinking to myself, you know, reshaping how we look at the library service. So when I go to the library, yes, part of it is that I want entertainment, but part of it is also that I might want a lifestyle change. I might want to be inspired. What do you have to inspire me with? So I could come into you. You could have, instead of librarians, library consultants, what are you interested in today? What will tickle your fancy today? So we have all of these broad topics. How can we help you to reshape an idea? You might want to go into soap making. You might want to go into jewelry making. How can we assist you
in reach, right? And getting the information you want.
And getting the, because it's about information and transfer of knowledge.
Yeah.
So how can we curate the information so that here is, we're offering it, this is the service we're offering to you, Barbados. You come in and we can curate this so that we can help you get further along the way. And I do not find that that's what I'm being met with. Even in terms of, I live in this country area in St. John. The variety of books that that are on offer for an 11-year-old child, very, very, very poor and limited. And then when I take my daughter down to the library, it's even worse. The selection is very, very poor as well. And I'm thinking, are these people who are buying these books, do they read? Do they actually read? Do they enjoy reading? Because you don't get that.
That's a good question.
Yeah, you get the sense that they're just administrators, they're just pushing paper and pencil. Let me get through my day. No inspiration, no thought. Oh, let me spark some interest in these. It's just frustrating.
Well, I can say that personally, I believe there's a lack of interest in reading. I think books have become something that people see as a time gone by. The joy of discovery is not a part of our education process. I could say so and take licks for saying so. I don't know where it will start or how it will start. I know those involved in education have spoken on it on air. Several of them are very vocal. And their discussions from time to time, there is even now, again, a plan to revamp our education process. But if a parent is not interested in reading, if the newspapers do not provide the type of inspiring material that you can share with your children, if you don't have books around the house and the children don't see you reading, if you don't read to them in the night or in the day when you get a chance, if you get a chance, it doesn't cultivate a desire to expect to find something in a book. So, unfortunately or fortunately, I grew up without television and I couldn't turn the radio on and off when I felt like it, so I lost myself in books. And I still read more than I do anything else. I love to read. My children were enrolled in the library and their mother, you know, push them in that direction, would go and take books out of them, and you know, they got into the habit of reading. But it's something that has to be developed at home. And then, if the demand is there, I think the library services would, when we even had mobile libraries at one point, would move to go in that direction. But if we go more and more to pick it up on a tablet, go look at it on YouTube, we're moving away from seeing the library as a place you go to for information. And but rather than saying, if you don't have a tablet or you don't have Wi-Fi at home, come to the library and you can then sit and do the research. Someone will assist you. We'll point you in the direction if you need assistance. So I'm supporting what you're saying, but I'm showing you how I agree with you that it has to change. And it has to be a desire to want to find the information and to think of looking for it in a library.
I just want to disagree with you.
On which one?
Quickly, because I don't agree with you in terms, I think that whole myth that you're creating around your parents have to read or you have to be in a reading environment, I think that if you look at a lot of people who are readers necessarily, some of their stories will include that my parents maybe never read to me, my parents weren't even literate. This is way back. So I'm saying that form of thinking can also be very, very limiting in terms of being innovative in how we are planning and moving forward. And the other part of it, when you said that people aren't reading, people to me are reading more than ever. It's what they're reading. Yes, they're reading on the tablet, they're reading their WhatsApp. If you look at people, they are engaging with media and they are reading. It's how they're reading. No, they're not picking up a book. And certainly the skills that you take to read a book, the tactile form of a book, is going to be very, very different from, say, looking at a tablet and flipping through that tablet. So I'm saying to you that it's a little bit mythopoetic for you to say that people aren't reading.
I take your point. I stick with what I said, though. But thanks for thanks for the disagreement and thanks for the engagement.
Well.
You're welcome. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yes, good morning. You know, I have a way of responding to people that take up so less time. I don't know. Yes, we were different now where you like to converse and carry out conversations and stuff.
And you know, and you know why we have cut this conversation short? We have cut this conversation real short today for this reason. I refuse, and I tell you this, I bluntly refuse to have my program directed by you. You want to tell me how long to talk to people, but you want to talk to as long as you want. That, sir, is called bullying. And I only got one place for bullies. Have a good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, good morning. I just wanted to know if COVID-19 is only caught on PS3s or not transport board buses. I don't understand this harassment of the COVID-19 team here harassing the PS3s. When transport board buses working, they're all living this shit, and not one bus can get pulled off the road. And it says clearly that the windows should be open unless they have inclement weather. So we have an inclement weather 24/7?
Not that I'm aware of.
You understand that the highway bypass bus that goes across the highway, ABC highway, does be overloaded all the time. So where the COVID-19 team? They don't have a COVID-19 team for transport board buses. They don't have a COVID-19 team for all the political meetings we have with people shaking hands, people don't have on masks, people who should know better. But all of a sudden, the COVID-19 team just sitting out waiting on PSVs. How are we as grown adults supposed to tell grown adults that should know that when they board a PSV, they should have on a mask and keep it on? That we supposed to go to them and tell them, well, you need to put on your mask. When they have a 13-year-old schoolboy on a live video telling the teacher that if you touch me, you're going to see you are going to be black and blue. So why we as adults or the operators of these PSVs have to go to adults and tell them to put on the mask? We can't force people to put on the mask after they board the vehicle. We could only pull in the police station.
Do
and
you?
And we don't know how far the next police station
is. I was about to ask you, do you?
I don't work it, so I can't tell you, but what I'm trying to say is that it is up to the operators to do it. But what if the COVID-19 team catches us before we get to the police station? It's not fair to us. You can't be only breathing out our back, and transport board got all the windows shut, all the buses working, and where is the COVID-19 team then? Why don't they issue a statement why transport board can work with the windows shut and PSVs can't? Is it only on PSVs you can get COVID-19?
Ma'am, you started off by asking that question. You end by asking that question. I don't know. All I can advise you to do is to, as far as possible, abide by the law. That's all I can tell you. Ma'am, this question about one set of rules for PSVs and one set of rules for transport board has shifted focus from overloading to no COVID-19 and masks and air-conditioned windows.
That is the issue. They're saying that the vehicle that was stopped was overloaded. Overloaded by two passengers, in which the owner is now out of work for a whole week, the driver and the conductor. So why not? It is that if the passengers and refuse to wear a mask and stuff, why aren't the passengers being fined? Why y'all only fining the owners and the operators?
Because
it is the passengers y'all need to fine.
Ma'am, do you force the passengers to get on the bus?
We don't force them.
Okay. If you're not supposed to have standing passengers on the bus, how do they get on the bus?
You are supposed to have standing passengers. You're supposed to have 5 standing passengers.
Okay. How then does a bus become overloaded? Answer the question. How does a bus become overloaded?
In many instances, a lot of these PSUs have the driver working by themselves.
Right.
Before you start at a bus stop, and instead of picking up 5 passengers and 7 start to board,
mm-hmm.
before you could turn around and count it, the COVID-19 team was there.
Okay. Ma'am.
He did not identify himself. I'm telling you that it was overloaded by 2 passengers. Not once did the guy identify himself to say he's from the court. You know what his comment was? I ain't getting on pay bus because it overload, but then wait for the bus the next morning. Where is he when transport board overload?
Ma'am, I will say to you again, consistently asking where is the COVID-19 team on transport board, as I said to you, abide by the law That question has been raised on everything from overload to now COVID-19 and has not had a response that would make you feel comfortable. Listen, let me put it to you this way. If I break into your house and I get arrested, I can't tell the police, but John been breaking into the house next door for the whole week. That's why I break into this one. Why ain't arrest he? Because John ain't there right now. He ain't breaking into the house right now. The team is not there. So that argument is not going to hold up. It may work in public opinion. It may work with other PSV owners and drivers. Is not going to hold water. Take it from me, please. So stop repeating the same question because the answer can be the same. Silence on my end. All I can advise you to do is to try to abide by the law, wherever it happens to be, and work out with, there's a new transport authority. They have representatives on the transport authority that belong to the PSV. Let them raise those issues. There's also somebody from the transport board too there. So let them iron out those issues. Let them find the places where you think you're being unfair, and hopefully they'll correct it. In the meantime, try to abide by the law. And if you could only take 5 persons standing and 7 get on, tell 2. Unfortunately, I could only take 5. I want to help you. I want to get you to work. God knows I need the extra money, but I can't right now come off the road for 3 weeks for the sake of 2 passengers. So please, work with me. Don't get on the bus right now. You know, I mean, I know it's only one man working the bus. I catch bus at times, I know. And trust me, I know some of the drivers too. I understand. But the way you're making the argument, not going to help you, post facto. Okay? Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Not too bad. Nice to hear your voice again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, love to hear you when you want, so that's it. Okay. Now, Mr. Johnson, mm-hmm. What is 2 things, really, I want to talk to you very quickly because I don't want to hold the phone up.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, all two government, you really, in a way, got to blame. You know why I say so? Because with the hotel workers, if a hotel is going to change hand, they should tell the government we are going to change hand and then we are going to pay up the workers that is there. You cannot change a hotel and then leave the workers stranded. It's all too got to be blamed. Because it's been going on too long now. 28 years I'm living here, and the same thing keep happening. The hotel change on after 10 or 15 years, and the workers are the ones who suffer. I know what it's like to work in hotels, and I know what it's like. Well, I get my pay because there, no one will mess with me. But it's not right. The workers do their job. They should get paid. You're going to change hotel. You should pay up the workers. And the one who bought the hotel over should make sure that the workers get their money as well. It's going to go on like this if the rules don't change, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am, unfortunately, there are people who seem to believe that you can pass the workers along from one to the other,
right.
Like the bed sheets and the pillowcases that you change, as a matter of fact. I know in the changeover one hotel, all the cutlery and glassware with the names of the former owners, no matter what condition they're in, are put into storage and remain there for almost 10 years. But the workers always, in too many cases, end up finding themselves in a difficult position. I agree with you. Just before the changeover, you should make sure that all the obligations, statutory obligations, are paid to the government and that the workers get what is due to them. Can't disagree with you, ma'am.
It's not right, because there is no way you're going to change a hotel, pay millions for him, and you get your money what you want. And sometimes it's just different names, you know.
Yeah.
But the same people.
Correct.
And it's wrong.
Correct.
The government should look into this. I know it's a lot they have to do, but this, the workers must always come first. Because without the workers, you don't have a hotel. And they treat the workers bad. You can't just change a hotel. And it's just from Winnie to John. from Winnie to Johnson, and we are this, and you realize the same people are in charge.
Ma'am, I gotta tell you, there's a, two countries I could think of where the government gave a hotel 10 years tax free. And at the end of 9.5 years, they simply added two directors, changed the name of the company, and applied for another 10-year tax free. So I know it happens.
Yes, but the
I know it happens.
Should stop it. And this is stupidness. The workers cannot. They have their children, their bills to pay. I don't work, but I feel it for them because I know what it's like when you don't have a $10 bill and you want to go buy something for $8 where you don't even have that money. It's wrong, and they should make the workers get their money. This is one time I agree with the workers, come out. But if we all stand up for each other, from you getting through, you don't care about Mary. Mary don't care about John because Mary is being okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this lady that talk about the PSV and the government buses, my darling, in the I only can speak of the UK. Don't talk about Jamaica because, oh, there's a different kettle of fish, right? In the UK, if it's 20 standing, it got to be 20 because we've got a thing called jumper. The jumper is someone who jumped the bus to count, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that your fare is paid. Because right now in the UK, we don't take money anymore. We buy a thing called Oyster card. I'm going to send it to you and let you see. Oyster card, and you fill that Oyster card up. It's supposed to be 7 days. But it depends how often you use that Oyster card. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Say, my Oyster card is for 7 days, and I use it 4 days, a lot of time jumping off different buses. It's going to run out, so I got to go and top it up again. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Oyster card can, when I went down the last time for 7 days, it's nearly £32, I think. And now it's 120 for 1 month. You know, and you use it up. But the lady, you got to have that, even if it's one over, you're going to get fined.
Get fined.
And every passenger that do not wear their mask should be fined as well. I agree with that. And the transport board should not overload and the minibus.
I agree. But I agree, ma'am. None of them should be overloaded.
It is totally wrong.
Yeah. They have... They have more and more buses being put on the road. There are fewer people traveling. So I think, therefore, you have more people vying for the same number of persons. Mm-hmm. Let us be safe. What do we want? You see, ma'am, here's my problem with all of this, right? Saying that it happened at a fete, saying that it happened on a cruise boat, saying that it happened at somebody's political meeting does not change the fact that it's wrong. So just try to keep everybody safe. Because if, and heaven help us if it ever happens, if we end up in the situation of Jamaica, Trinidad, even Antigua, they make noise with us about calling their destination high risk, had a death. If we start having deaths, if we start having suspicions of community spread, we in duck's guts, we already in trouble the way we are. And in Barbados, where everybody and everybody is everybody, this can be mass chaos again trying to control. We're down to 5-6 people in isolation. We're down to only imported cases. Let's keep it that way as best we could. If you stop in your car to pick up your friend, tell them sit down in the back seat and keep on the mask. You know, just work with it now.
Listen, my husband and a brother went out yesterday, and both of them have on their mask. And, you know, that's it. You have to use your mask.
Yeah.
And if you don't use it, the passenger, I heard someone said on tell a conductor he can't put on his mask. If you think I'm going to put it on, what he will do with that passenger? Well, do not let that passenger on your bus.
On the bus, correct, yeah.
You know, you got to, because this thing is dangerous here. It's dangerous to asthmatic, diabetes, people who've got different bad heart, any little thing. All these people are dying like flies. Right now we have over 10,000 cases in Jamaica. Jamaica should be on that watch list too. Because, you know, you got to control what you're doing. And if you don't, Can you imagine the amount of people die in England? We wouldn't have no Barbados.
But America has reached 250,000. That's almost all our working population, plus some of the young ones, too. Oh, 250,000 is a lot of people.
Anyway, sir, you have a good day, and to the crew behind.
You too, ma'am. Thank you very much. I was waiting on the promo for Brass Stack Sunday to do this, so it was played, so I'll do it. My colleagues are also sending me messages, as well as other... as other WhatsApp messages, wishing me happy Men's Day, International Men's Day. So let me extend the greetings to those following who are male. I asked one of my colleagues, so what are we doing to celebrate? Can't tell you the answer, but anyhow. There it is. Brass Stacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Well, there's no need for me to ask how you're doing because I've been hearing from the Time broadcaster that you're okay.
You think so?
I'm
how I sound on radio, sir, at plenty times are very deceiving. But anyhow, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. I've been calling you now for a while. Some concerns with mine that I saw maybe on a daily basis. And I'm happy this morning to say to you and your company and the powers that be, because it is possible that some of these things was in the works and was taking time before it got started. But one in particular was, I remember talking to you earlier about this little island in the road when we come off from Springer School and turn to go on Welch's.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speaking about that one and some of the other little small islands like this that don't have no lighting, no painting, or so. So I'm happy to report that recently I've been seeing not only that area, quite past there last night, and I saw it's painted in black away and also has cat eyes along the sides. So
yeah, there's been a lot of work being done with cat's eyes recently to make them. Yeah.
A lot of work being done. I mean, sometimes the cat eyes are really even brighter than the lights overhead. So I think I can safely say that I truly program, as long as to the powers of me, that I'm happy to see that some work is done along the areas that are for concern. As well as over by the globe, I see this. I have complained about that, and I see this work going on there. So I can guarantee that that area also, which the barricades will be the fast. I don't think we'll do one part at least. So that's my thing for the day.
Thank you very much, sir. It is good to highlight the changes when you see them, especially the positive ones. And I encourage you to keep following and keep pointing them out. I'm looking at some of the work being done on our roads. Kalamarok, I see that one quite regularly. I have some concerns about how we're using the roads, but the painting of the roads, the putting down of the road signs, road markings, cat's eyes in particular, to assist people at night. We just got to ensure that we keep updating our responses and our assistance in those matters, and I'll be good to go. Thank you very much. Here's an urgent notice just sent to me. Thanks, John, and thanks, Stetson. The early closure of the Darrell Jordan Secondary School. The Darrell Jordan Secondary School in St. Lucie closed at noon due to an environmental problem at the school. Parents and guardians are asked to collect their children or their wards as soon as they can. That's the Darrell Jordan Secondary in St. Lucie closing at noon. That's in about 24 minutes time because of an environmental issue. And we urge you, if you have young ones or you know someone whose children attend that school, please give them the heads up and let them know that the school is being closed at noon for environmental issues. Thanks for that info. Stetson and the news team and John for bringing it to my attention. And so thank you for your comments.